is anger and bitterness or forgiveness? You see, the opposite of forgiveness is not unforgiveness. What is it in English? Unforgiveness. But the opposite of not forgiving is actually anger, is actually bitterness. Do you agree? Did everybody get a card? Okay, fantastic. You can put it aside now. We'll do the homework a bit later. Have you ever thought of it? Why do you get angry? Why do you get bitter? The bottom line is because we don't have our way. We see a parking spot at Pick and Pay. We want to park there, and suddenly somebody swerves in front of us, and we get angry. You know, we see this. There's this job opportunity in our company, and we want to go for the promotion, and suddenly just get shut down, and we get angry. Whether we deserve it or not, that's not the question. But we get angry because we don't get our way. And the solution to anger, the solution to bitterness, is unforgiveness. So, bottom line, the face of unforgiveness is anger, is bitterness. We actually get a very, very good picture in Ephesians 4. Paul writes to us, and he says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamminess, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Paul says, Paul commands, we should take all our bitterness, all our anger. And just to make sure that he encapsulates everything, he adds there, with all malice. Everything else negative, we should put it away from us. We should have nothing to do with that. Now, this is not the kind of fold it up neatly and put it in your cupboard, putting it away. No, this is the kind of just get rid of it. We used to have a farm in the Tabazimbi area, and every spring we get these huge boterkop spinnekoppe, these huge yellow spiders, and they've got this sticky web, and you'll be standing on the back of the bucky, and just suddenly this thing will hit you in the face, and you just cannot get this web off your face quick enough. You just want to get rid of it. That is the kind of putting it away that Paul speaks about. Put it away from you. Have it, you know, you have nothing to do with anger. Have nothing to do with bitterness. Have nothing to do with evil speaking. Just put it away from yourself. You know, just get that spider off yourself as quickly as possible. But now, how can Paul, who lived 2,000 years ago, have the boldness to, you know, how can he tell us that we have to put all this stuff away from ourselves? You know, he doesn't know what you're going through. He doesn't know your ex-husband. He doesn't know your school teacher, your stepmother, your father-in-law. He doesn't know that. So how can he have the boldness to tell us that we need to get rid of all anger, all bitterness? The very interesting thing is, Paul writes this not from a beach somewhere in Italy with, you know, some romantic place. He writes this from Rome, where he's a captive, and he's been a captive for over a year awaiting trial. He is in the soap. You know, and Christians wasn't looked at very fondly. It was literally, Christians was a threat to the Roman Empire. They saw Christians as this huge threat. And now he's in Rome, captive, waiting to appear to Caesar to be judged. And he says, put away anger. Put away bitterness. Okay, but how do we do it? How do we put that away? The answer is in the very next slide, very next verse, verse 32. "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us, forgave you." That is the answer. That is how we get rid of anger. That is how we get rid of bitterness, by forgiving one another. It doesn't say forgive one another if the person does it. No, it just says forgive one another, because Christ forgave us. Christ didn't forgive us half of our sins, or forgave us our sins if we apologized, or forgave us our sins if it wasn't too bad. No, he hanged on the cross to forgive our sins. And that is the attitude that we should have. And that is the attitude that we should go through life with. Not an it literally become something that's second nature. You know, when the taxi swerve, that is my issue. You know, I told you this before, but I used to drive about 45 k's from where I stayed on the farm to the chauffeur office in Pretoria. And I used to take some back roads because I didn't like the N4 toll roads. And then I would get right on the Hans Stratum where all the traffic from Mamelodi comes out. And there was lots of taxis. And they just got on my nerves. The light is green. It's red for them. But they just keep on coming in streams. And it should become a habit to forgive. It should become a habit to lay down anger and bitterness. You know, and it's not, I'm not saying the person deserves to be set free. I'm just saying we have to do it. You know, many times we go through life and I'm going to expose all my sins. Before I started working for the church, it's about 10 years ago, I worked for a promotion company. And the whole business deal was, I do the work, my boss, she supplies the money, and we're partners. Not equal partners, but partners. And after about 4 years, I haven't seen any shares or any profit, or, you know, anything. And then suddenly I stumble onto a bill in our books, and she spent what I earn in a month on one day at a hair salon. I lost it. But even that, God says, I must forgive. Paul says, God demands that we forgive. Whether the person deserves it or not, that's not the question. The question is, did I forgive them? Let me just get the scripture. In Matthew 18, from verse 21, Peter, amazing Peter. Peter comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, Peter spends some time with Jesus, so he knows the answer is not just once. He knows that Jesus is different than the Pharisees and the scribes, so he knows that Peter knows that Jesus' standard is much higher. So he comes in with something that he thinks is a generous answer. He says, shall I forgive him 7 times? Shall I forgive my brother 7 times for sinning against me? Now, that is pretty much, if you arrive at work and you step into the office, boss comes past and he slaps you on the cheek. And he walks past. How many times must you forgive your boss? Is it okay to, forgive him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Monday, and then stop? You know, where do you draw the line? When are you going to take the frying pan to work and actually knock the sense into him to stop slapping you? That is practically what Peter is asking here. And what is Jesus' answer? Jesus answers, no. Up to 7 times 70. Now, if you're quick with math, it gives you 490. I had a calculator at home, so. Jesus said you have to forgive your brother up to 490 times. Doesn't matter whether he's a repeat offender, doesn't matter whether he deserves it or not, we must have a habit of forgiving people. We must walk in a habit of forgiving people. And then Jesus starts telling a very interesting parable. What is the biblical definition of forgiveness? Anybody? The biblical definition of forgiveness. Jesus gives an example and he says it's actually canceling debt. As I said, we get angry because somebody does something against us and we incur a debt. You know, and sometimes it's valid, you know, it's really hurtful. You know, I don't know what your background is, but it might be a stepfather that literally abused you. And you collect that debt. He owes me an apology, or he owes me 20 years of abuse. Or it might be a business partner that ran out on you and literally stole money. It might be R1 million. But whenever we get angry, it's because somebody owes us something. It's because we go through life gathering debt. Now today we're going to cancel some debt. Okay, so Jesus starts with a parable. He tells a story. He tells that there's a certain king who starts to let me just get the words right, settle some accounts with his servants. So this king, He calls in all his servants. And then he starts, you know, who owes him what? And then suddenly somebody gets brought before him who owes him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is a huge amount of money. A normal person will work his whole life and earn about a talent for all his work in his life. This is literally like R1 million, maybe even more. A talent is really a huge amount of money. Now, if you think of Jesus was betrayed for 30 silver pieces. Joseph was sold by his brother for 12 silver pieces. A talent is much, much more. It is really, it's a crazy amount. And this guy owed the king 10,000 talents. So the king said, okay, pay back. And the servant can't. So the king says, okay, you, your wife, your kids, everything you own must be sold, and I get the money. The king wasn't extremely harsh on this guy. There was simply, he borrowed money, he can't pay the money back, so he needs to refund somehow. Did you notice that the debt that you incur has actually got generational impact? It wasn't just the guy who created the debt that was to be sold, but his wife and his family as well. Anyway, let's go on. So, this guy falls to his knees and he begs the king, please have mercy on me. I'll pay you back everything. He can't pay back everything. It is just too much money. So he falls on his knees and the king had compassion. The king looked at the servant and said, okay, your debt is forgiven. Your debt is being cancelled. Biblical definition of forgiveness, debt being cancelled. So the servant, I can just imagine, he walks out of there, you know, like a cloud nine, all this weight, all this debt that just was cancelled. He doesn't owe the king anything. His family is not being sold anymore. He must just be in such a good mood when he walks out of there. And suddenly he walks into another servant, somebody who most probably works with him. And this guy owes him 100 denarii. Not that much money. But he grabs this guy by the throat, drags him to prison, throw him in prison, and say, he will stay there until all that he owes me is paid back. Now, he's in prison, so he can't pay back the loan, so somebody must come and free him. You know, a family member or somebody must bring the 100 denarii so that he can be set free. But then other servants see what happens, and they go to the king, and they say, listen, king, that guy who you just forgave all this debt, this mountain of debt, he just had one of his friends thrown into prison for 100 denarii. And the king gets ticked off. He gets angry. Has a servant call back. And he asks him, what did you do? I forgave you all this debt. Shouldn't you have done the same? Shouldn't you have forgiven your fellow servant? And this I need to read. Verse 35. Jesus speaking again, and he said, The king says to the servant, I'm going to hand you over to the tormentors. I'm going to give you over to the tormentors until you pay back everything you owe. He will never be able to pay back everything he owns. In the first place, he's handed over to the tormentor, so he can't work for his money. And in the second place, it's just such a large amount of money. And then Jesus comes in verse 35 and he says, So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother for his trespasses. Now, I don't know what it means to be handed over to tormentors. I just know that I want nothing to do with that. And that is what Jesus is saying. If we don't from our hearts forgive our brothers, if we don't from our hearts cancel the debt that our brothers, sisters, stepfathers, ex-wives, bosses has, we will also endure that. We will also be handed over to the tormentors. But have you just seen the irony? The servant, his debt was cancelled. But then he waited for the debt to be paid to him. And at the end, he had to pay back his debt. Many times in our lives, we wait for somebody to pay back. We wait for somebody to restore, to come and give the apology, to come and, you know, we wait for a father to come and apologize for not being there when we were children. We wait for a school teacher to come apologize for the abuse when we were in school. We wait for a boyfriend or a girlfriend who stole our innocence, who stole our purity, to come with that apology. And while we wait, we are the ones that's being made to pay. We are the ones who has to pay back what we owe. And the debt we owe Christ, the debt we owe to God, is much bigger than any person can ever owe us. What did it cost God to set us free? What is the debt that we owe towards God? God gave His best. God gave His all. He gave His Son on the cross for us. There's nothing that can compare to that. You know, forgiving somebody is not telling them what you did was fine. It is simply one sinner extending a hand of mercy to another sinner. You know, we've been forgiven. And that's all we're extending. We're extending forgiveness. But I'm sure Peter didn't quite understand what Jesus was talking about. You know, he was just asking, how many times should I forgive my brother? But a couple of months later, when Jesus was being captured, when Jesus was taken and flogged, when Jesus ended up on the cross, I'm sure he got a better understanding. I want to read Luke 23 from verse 33. And when they have come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his and the other one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I've got a vivid imagination. I can see Jesus hanging on the cross. Now, who watched the Passion of the Cross, the Passion of Christ? The flogging there is actually so realistic of what Jesus went through. He was literally beaten something horrible. And it didn't stop there. Then he was forced to carry his cross until he collapsed. When Simon came, Simon of Cyrene, and actually carried the cross further because Jesus didn't have the energy. He was spent. And then they take him to Calvary and then they nail him to the cross. Do you know why you die when you're crucified? You die from being smothered. It's literally your hands are being nailed. A metal nail goes through your hands into the wood and you hang there. And you have to pull yourself up on these nails that's through your hands and through your feet just to breathe. I can't imagine the kind of person that invented crucifixion, because there's nothing that I can imagine that's worse. And Jesus is going through all of this. He is going through that physical pain, and what is on his mind? What is he saying? Father, forgive these around me. These people who are hurting me, these people who are killing me, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If you just take it a little bit earlier, at the Last Supper, we read just before the Last Supper, John 13, verse 1. We read how Jesus comes and he kneels down in front of his disciples and he washes their feet. All 12 of them, Judas Iscariot included. He kneels down before them and he washes their feet. In verse 18 of that same John 13, we read how Jesus comes and he exposes Judas Iscariot and exposes him as the one who is the cause of him being betrayed, who is the one who's betraying him, who is the one that causes him to end up on the cross. But just 18 verses earlier, Jesus knelt down before him and he washed his feet. There was no bitterness. There was no anger. That is the example that we have. A God who forgives us, who are the reason that his son had to go to the cross. And how can we not do the same? So no, this is where we get practical. This is where we shake off the weight. You'll see on your little card that you receive, I try to keep it very simple so that you don't look at it and try to figure out what it is. On the one side, it is just simply says, the who. And this is where we need to actually stop. Allow ourselves to think. Who is the people that we still have bitterness towards? Who is the people that we have our secret discussions in our mind, you know, the person that you want to set in their place? Or the person that drives past and you think if you can get away with it, you're going to throw the brick into the windscreen. Or the person that you want to meet in the dark alley when they won't be able to recognize you. Who is the person that you have in your heart still bitterness towards, still anger towards? Wie is die persoon vir wie jy kwaad is? Die persoon wat jy nog ergens een of ander tyd in sy plek wil sit. Who is that person? This is where you write down, as I say, stepfather, ex-husband, old boyfriend, teacher, coach. Allow the Holy Spirit, we're going to give time now, allow the Holy Spirit to really work in your heart, to get all this junk out so that we can enter into the spring lighter. Now, just a footnote. Sometimes people ask you, is it necessary to phone the other party and let them know that they're forgiven? No. Forgiveness is a decision you make, and it's between you and God. You know, if you phone up an ex and say, listen, I forgive you for, you might just, you know, start a new fire. So no. On the other hand, if you want somebody to forgive you, then you phone them up and say, listen here, please, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, forgive me. But don't feel compelled to phone the person. I will just rather leave it alone. Normally when you speak about forgiveness, you know, you'll get people that struggle with forgiveness, there'll normally be three categories. The first one is the person that wants to forgive, but they just don't get that far. They just can't sit down and actually do it. So this is why we're going to do the form thing today. We're going to write it down, make it very practical, so we can move through this. Secondly, you'll get people who come to you and say, but if I forgive them, then I'm saying it's fine for the 10 years of abuse that I had to suffer. Then I say it's fine for whatever they did. And that's not what you're doing. As I say, you are simply extending a hand of forgiveness, because you've received a hand of forgiveness. You're not saying it is right, especially if it's a repeat offender, somebody who's, you know, slapping you every morning when you get to work. You're doing it, it's between you and God. You're laying it down. And the scary thing is, if we don't do it, what is the consequence? You know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we don't forgive, that is the way that God's going to forgive us, by not forgiving us. We also have to make to pay the bigger debt. So there's no option. It's not about how you feel. It's a decision that we make. And thirdly, we many times, you know, you'll speak to someone and say, but I already forgave the person, but it keeps on coming back. You know? That's where we need to stand up. And we'll see one of these steps is actually closing the case. Whenever the feelings come back, it's not about the feeling. I've already made the decision. It is cancelled. It's not about how I feel. It's about a decision I make. So, step one. We need to identify who the person, the company, the organization is. Who do we have the bitterness against? Is it somebody in church? Church leaders? Is it me? I hope not. Come speak to me. But we need to sort it out. I had an amazing testimony. I'm busy working through a book by Andy Stanley, Issues of the Heart. And he shares a testimony of a girl who comes to him after a long day of teaching and counseling and discipling. And she walks to him and she says she just has to thank him. And he says, for what? She starts crying. She says when she, 20 years ago, when she was at university, she started seeing a psychologist. So a psychologist, so anyway, because she had an eating disorder. After 2 weeks, he raped her. A month later, she realized she's pregnant. She goes and tells her parents, court case, police, everything, her word against his. It just got chucked out. For 20 years after it happened, every relationship she goes into, she goes into with that person who raped her. She literally drags this with. None of her relationships work. You know, she just can't get to the point where she can trust men again. And she just suddenly realized that by forgiving him, she sets herself free. By forgiving him, she makes it possible for her to have normal relationships again. Her son was 20 years old when she made that connection. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to set ourselves free from this baggage that we're carrying along. You know, the scary thing about unforgiveness is literally like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. We're taking it on ourselves and expecting, you know, many times the person don't even, they forgot about us years ago. But we still carry this weight along. So, identify the person. Then, a very important step. We cannot cancel debt if we don't know what the person owes us. Write down what they owe you. Write down abused. Write down money. Write down a car that has been written off. Write down the mugger that stole my purse with 200 rand in it. Write down what they owe you. Number three, make the decision to cancel the debt, to forgive. Andy Stanley tells about his dad, who actually sat down on a chair with an empty chair in front of him, and he had a discussion with a stepfather who's been dead for years and forgave him verbally. Whatever works for you, forgive, cancel the debt. You cannot go through life without doing it. And number four is literally, you know, declaring the case solved, declaring the case closed. Okay, so now we're going to give 10 minutes that you can work through this. I really want to encourage you, you know, Christians, if you're not in the habit yet of forgiving immediately, do this at least once a month. Sit down, just think of who do you have grudges against, who's the people that you're angry towards, and just forgive them.